Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. In the studio, Sandy Williams, and I'm glad he's here. You know, Sandy, did I read it right, or is Tommy Thompson considering entering into the gubernatorial race?
I have to say that made me smile. I know that at one point he considered running for president. He assembled people and he told the world that he was thinking about it. Apparently he thinks that the world is worried about what he's thinking about. I don't know. He's close to
me. I like him.
He's a very capable politician.
Yeah, he is.
In terms of being a politician, he's very good at the whole process of being a popular politician.
And working together.
Yeah, and he was governor at a time of revenue increases in the state because of a booming economy in the 90s, and so he didn't have to say no to many people, and that was good because Tommy doesn't really know how to say no.
No.
but I'll be surprised if he runs for governor. I think he's 80 years old.
Yeah, he is 80. Yeah, he's the age of our president.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I guess you're right.
And I'm sure he's looking at that and saying, hey, whoa.
Yeah.
If Joe Biden can be the president, why wouldn't I? So let me, Sandy, we're right now the state of Wisconsin is doing well financially. Does it surprise you?
Well, when the economy does well, a state like ours that relies on income tax and revenue-based taxing does do well. That's one of the problems with the way states are financed, in that they're kind of boom or bust. During a strong economy, they get lots of revenue, but they aren't allowed to save money for a rainy day.
Right.
And during the rainy days, they don't have enough money, and they aren't allowed to have deficits. So you go through this wrenching process of budgetary increases and budgetary cuts. That follow the business cycle.
Well, right now we've got all this money. Let's give the people, everybody in the state, $150. Makes no sense whatsoever to me.
Well, I think the reason for that twofold. I mean, one is obviously politics, a chicken in every pot kind of a thing.
Right.
Make everyone happy, let them get a check at home. But the other thing is, if you use this money that's sourced from the sort of volatile revenue stream, if you install programs that are going to have,
you won't have the money
year,
in order to sustain it.
Yeah, you won't have the money when the fit hits the shan. You won't have money to spend on the program. You'll have to cut the program. So, to some extent, it reflects that reality that, you know, what he's essentially doing is reducing taxes for people by sending them a rebate.
You know, Governor Evers, guy I supported.
Wait, is he governor of Wisconsin?
You know, he's such a silent guy.
He's actually, people are now realizing who it is, but I think he was very quiet about things.
You know, the fear, but he's been able to, as I was talking a little earlier, hold off what would have been just disastrous with these plans that the Republican legislature is coming up with, and the power that he's been given by the same Republicans because they gave it to Scott Walker and never thought far enough ahead that at some point in time maybe a Democrat will be in that power position, and he's been able to use it.
I think Evers has given every indication that he's a smart guy, that he's a kind of a policy wonk. I think most of the policies that they've talked about implementing have been pretty sound in terms of their design. He doesn't seem to be impulsive. He doesn't seem to be strongly political.
No, he's calculated.
Doesn't seem to be particularly politically motivated. I think he does have a real vested interest and knowledge about education that he's trying to pursue. So, to be honest with you, I've been pretty impressed with him. It's just that he's a bit of a sleeper, that's all, in terms of. He's not a flamboyant personality, and to his credit, he's not running around trying to get headlines like most politicians do.
So you look at him, you got him right here, Tony Evers. We know what we have there. And then you've got on the other side of this, and it's really kind of whacked out. you know, when you look at what's the guy's name? I don't even know how to pronounce that guy's name. The latest guy who got in.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, and then you also look at Kevin
Nicholson.
Nichols. And yeah. and they're going to tear one another apart.
Apparently, Nicholson, he gives every indication. I mean, he's the prime credential he's ever waved in front of everyone is the fact that
he's a military guy, right.
And everyone knows that. Everyone knows but nothing else about him. He also was a very active young Democrat, so he's clearly pragmatically disposed towards his ideology. He wants to be a politician and a successful one, but it apparently doesn't matter what stripes he wears. And so I'm not a fan. I'm interested in people who want to come forward with policy initiatives that the public can understand and that will improve the lot of the public. And having someone in office who simply can show you the uniform that used to fit him doesn't do much.
Are you worried at all that Republicans can win that the governorship in the state?
You know, happily, the Wisconsin voters seem to be able to separate various situations from one another, so that we've frequently had situations where the U.S. Senate vote and the presidential vote is not the same up and down the ticket, and same with the governor. So I suspect and hope that people will vote for the next governor based on the situation in the state, which actually is quite good. You know, I don't think that there's a lot of people complaining about situational problems in Wisconsin that are unique to Wisconsin because of some policy defect we have. You know, the main problems we have in Wisconsin relate probably to Foxconn and some bad things that were done prior to Evers' day, and he's done his best to try and figure out what to do with them and make lemonade out of the lemon.
So this Democrat against Republicans right now with the United States Senate seat that Ron Johnson has, who really is just a bad guy. You want to talk about good and bad people, he's created his own problems.
I was talking to people about the history of the senators from Wisconsin, and it turns out we either have pretty great ones or some flaky ones, you know. And definitely the flakiest one we've ever had is currently sitting in the seat that's Mr. Johnson's. He's kind of incredible. He doesn't seem to have any substantive depth. He seems to be a lapdog for Donald Trump in a way that almost suggests that Trump must have a whole album of photos of him or something. I don't understand how it works.
But do you think it's possible that Democrats could take that Senate seat?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I definitely think it's possible because I think, like I said, I think Wisconsinites are capable of partitioning their mind with respect to various offices. And to the extent that the clout of Donald Trump and Trumpism in the Republican Party might be fading in Wisconsin, I don't know. But clearly, Senator Johnson has put all of his cards into the Trump camp, and is running on the notion that being a strong Trump supporter will get him reelected.
Yeah, so it's time again for CPAC, and I've always liked kind of watching the CPAC stuff, right? It's just to see how crazy many of the Republicans really are.
Mm-hmm.
And right now CPAC is about to come back together, and Donald Trump is the king again.
Right.
So how can that be, Sandy? How can you, knowing who and what Donald Trump is, and how wounded he is and what he's facing, you would think that the party would be strong enough to say, this is not the time to let him be the leader of, you know, the Republican Party.
You know, what's interesting is I think the Trump version of populism is an interesting one because it's basically premised on people who don't like government and have come to mistrust government. And the problem with the response to Donald Trump is that it tends to come from people who are viewed as old guard government establishment types, who are upset with the fact that Donald Trump has been so unprofessional, so undiplomatic, so all these things. And what they're listing as his faults are the reasons that the people who support him like him. So that's the part that troubles me a little bit, because what's sauce for the goose isn't for the gander, apparently. The people who don't like Donald Trump don't like him for the very reasons that he has a lot of support.
But I still, for the life of me, Sandy, those people who still like him, and for whatever reasons they like him, maybe his boldness, you talked about, we talked for a couple of years about Donald Trump and who Donald Trump was and is. He's still that same guy. He has not changed one iota. This is what you're going to get. And yet he's still, yeah.
Well, I think Donald Trump is a reflection of some problems Americans have with our value system. The American value system is not... broadly speaking, an empathetic value system. It's one that will let people go without health care regardless of the dire circumstance they find themselves in. It's a circumstance that lets homeless people exist all over. It's a circumstance that doesn't provide child daycare to very, very needy children who didn't ask for the plight they were born into.
Sandy, listen to those things.
These are all value system judgment. This Americans don't have this value system, and it's troublesome. And I think that's what troubles me as an aging American, is watching and realizing the value system that I've lived through and how different it is from the one that prevails in most other countries.
But Sandy, also the contradiction that we try to tie that into just how immoral a nation we are. Well, and as if we don't even see...
Well, that's because, you know, we live it. It's a hypocrisy. You know, we have long championed a country that is not the country we actually are, and I suppose this whole critical race theory kerfluffle is another reflection of the fact that we don't want to do a self-examination. We want to simply broadcast our notion, our imagined notion of the great place
and the rest
we are.
Of the world watches us and says, see?
Well, and we are prosperous, so that the prosperity causes us to have some level of credibility.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is my guest. We'll be back.